From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 1st, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Faculty and administrators at Bowdoin College expressed profound relief on Thursday upon hearing news that alumnus Evan Gershkovich was part of a prisoner exchange with Russia. Kevin Miller has more.
Bowdoin President Safa Zaki says there have been free Evan posters all around campus to call attention to Gershkovich's plight.
We're so relieved, and there's a lot of joy on campus. As I've been walking around, people have been stopping me and wanting to talk about it. You can just feel it throughout this place.
Gershkovich, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, was sentenced last month to 16 years in prison on what American officials dismiss as bogus espionage charges. Philosophy professor Scott Sion says he first heard about his former student's release from news alerts on his phone as he was traveling to Italy for a conference.
Then checked email and had rather jubilant emails from philosophy colleagues and in my department. So it was, yes, it was obviously great news to find out that they had negotiated this exchange and that Evan will be free.
Both Zaki and Sion say they hope to welcome Gershkovich back to campus, but only after he is fully recuperated from his ordeal. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Planned Parenthood of Northern New England says it faces a serious financial deficit that could force service reductions across the network that covers Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire. Interim CEO Nicole Clegg says the nonprofit faces a more than $8.5 million budget shortfall over the next 3 years.
This is the most serious situation we have found ourselves in. And it's not just that we're navigating all of the pressures that have, you know, compounded over the last few years, but it's also like when we look to the future and the uncertainty that we may have to navigate, it is important that our patients, the community, elected leaders know the moment we're in right now.
Clegg says the deficits are due in part to rising healthcare costs, an increase in demand from patients, and low reimbursement rates that haven't kept up with the cost of providing care. A panel that reviews child deaths and serious injuries in Maine reports that the number of children who've accidentally ingested drugs has more than tripled in the past 3 years. And some state lawmakers say a recent change in the law could make the situation worse. Patty White reports.
Half of last year's 94 cases involved cannabis. And with 51 child ingestions reported through June, Maine is on pace to exceed last year's totals. Representative Michelle Meyer, who co-chairs the legislature's Health and Human Services Committee, says it's easy to connect the dots between the rising numbers of child poisonings and the increasing availability of cannabis edibles such as gummies.
And it is with deep regret that I see the legislature weakening regulations around labeling and these products. You know, we're talking about a product that takes the form of well-known food products that are enticing to children.
Under a new law, individual servings of gummies and some other edibles no longer need to be labeled with a symbol signifying that they contain cannabis. Industry representatives had argued that it was impractical to label each individually wrapped serving. Meanwhile, the Northern New England Poison Control Center reported 71 calls last year of child poisonings involving cannabis. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
A recent Department of Defense report reveals that nearly 6,000 service members died by suicide between 2011 and 2022. And Army soldiers assigned to infantry, combat engineering, and armament and munitions had higher suicide mortality rates than their peers in lower stress roles. 1,400 of those suicides were among National Guard troops. Madison Thompson is the risk reduction coordinator for the Maine Army National Guard and trains soldiers on suicide prevention.
I definitely see trends of individuals talking and coming forward when they're having mental health challenges. And I also see a lot of soldiers being able to help individuals who are struggling in a more efficient manner, thanks to annual training and things like that.
The DoD figures show that over the same decade, the suicide rate for active and reserve soldiers was less than 0.3%, lower than the 1.6% rate for the general population. The veteran suicide rate in Maine in 2021 was not significantly different from the national veteran suicide rate, but it was 2.5 times higher than the national suicide rate of the general population. Senator Angus King called for the DoD study to help create policies addressing suicide risks across the armed forces. State environmental regulators say the town of Phillips violated state laws and damaged habitat for endangered Atlantic salmon when it dredged the South Branch of the Sandy River in December. Murray Carpenter reports.
While the Maine Department of Environmental Protection did grant the town permission to remove 3 debris piles to alleviate winter flooding, regulators say the town and its contractors went too far, dredging a channel nearly a mile long, erecting berms next to the river, and dewatering channels used by brook trout and Atlantic salmon. John Burrows of the Atlantic Salmon Federation says this part of the river was excellent salmon habitat and had at least 6 salmon nests, known as reds, created last fall.
So in terms of the impact on a critically endangered species, losing, 6 reds and thousands of juvenile wild Atlantic salmon is going to have an impact for a few generations up that way.
In a reply to DEP, Phillips Town Manager Maureen Haley wrote that the town did not knowingly violate any regulations and was acting to, quote, preserve human lives and the property of its residents at a time of great need and catastrophe. Haley said the town is willing to work with state and federal agencies to restore the river, but asked for financial assistance for the work and for projects to prevent future flooding. Burroughs says the restoration work could cost as much as $3 million. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Murray Carpenter.
Maine Senator Angus King has introduced a bill to help working waterfronts prevent damage from natural disasters. The measure, co-sponsored by Republican Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, would give small businesses a 30% tax credit to invest in infrastructure improvements of up to $1 million. Kim Hamilton, the president of the Island Institute, says the proposal would offer critical funding to small businesses preparing for more intense weather driven by climate change. She says devastating storms this winter underscored waterfront vulnerabilities and required urgent rebuilding.
The tax credits that are included in this bill give small working waterfront businesses the opportunity to really do that kind of advanced planning that we couldn't do in the immediate aftermath after the January storm.
King's bill comes after Maine granted $21 million to communities in support of waterfront recovery. And a study of Bangor's housing market reveals that rent prices are accelerating faster than those in Portland, Lewiston, Augusta, and Brewer. Ann Krieg, Bangor's community and economic development director, says residents who make 80 to 120% of the city's median income are priced out of market rate housing, but earn too much to qualify for rent subsidies. She says the city is offering an 11-acre municipally owned site to developers to encourage them to build more affordable housing.
We can take out some of the development costs like land acquisition. Can we get in turn some rents and maybe condominiums that people can purchase that are in that 80 to 120% median income?
Krieg estimates the city needs about 1,800 additional rental units for people who make below $35,000 per year. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, it's a rebroadcast of our interview with reporter Sebastian Younger on his memoir called In My Time of Dying. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.